All right, welcome everybody to this show we call Comes Naturally. Take care of some business before we go into everything else. Like usual, we ask you to do a couple things. Head on over to Facebook, like and share the page, comment on a few things. That'd be nice of you. Head over to Twitter. You can follow us at our Twitter handle Twitter is handle. Blah, 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 blah. Twitter handle is
at Comes Natural Pod.
You can follow us on there. You can comment on stuff. You can do whatever that tweets do. Tweet at us. We'll answer them. And then head over to iTunes. Like the show. Subscribe to the show. Share the show. All that fun stuff. Download some episodes if you haven't already. Boom. There it goes. So, Comes Naturally, we are
Joe.
Not Mike, and I'm Cody.
Not Mike.
Yep, not Mike. Because Not Mike's here, and I didn't look up any wrestling stuff. Joe, you got any science stuff to hit us with?
I do have one thing. Not that there hasn't been a lot of sciencey stuff this week. It's just that for some reason I've been watching listening to scary shows on YouTube for no apparent fucking reason.
Weirdo.
It's not weird. It just is a thing.
Weirdo.
But coming up this February 18th is SpaceX launching from the historic NASA pad, and that would be pad 39A. For those who don't know, that is the pad that they used for all the Apollo launches. And this will be, I believe, the first launch in over like 30 years or something like that at this particular pad. So pretty much it.
How often do private companies get to launch satellites from NASA in general?
From
particular launch pad, but from NASA. Like, do they, like, where does DirecTV send theirs from?
I actually don't know where DirecTV sends theirs from. I've obviously looked at that because I was trying to find a job over at DirecTV in their satellite division. I couldn't really find who, because I don't.
You can just build a fucking launch pad, can you?
No, they have a company that actually launches it. This is going to be like one of those, they build the satellites and then somebody else launches it.
Is there private companies that have their own launching?
Yeah,
like,
HughesNet used to own, Dish Network. So they used to own Dish Network and HughesNet, and that was their launch. They built the satellites and launched them. They split off a few years ago from Dish Network. So Dish Network is its own company.
Yeah, because that's DirecTV is Hughes, essentially.
But they still have, ties together. But no, there's no company that I know of that makes their own satellites yet. Elon Musk,
and then launches
their own satellites.
So,
but yeah, I don't know where DirecTV does. I'm pretty sure DirecTV makes all their own satellites.
Yeah,
I just don't know who launches them for them.
It seems like a super security risk to have private companies that can launch missiles or rockets. Essentially, I mean, granted.
Well, when you get into this type of stuff, they work closely with the government.
Oh, yeah,
everything
yeah,
is
yeah.
super regulated. And even there really isn't any
privately owned. They can't just do it on a whim, right? They can't say, like, we're going to launch a rocket today.
No, they definitely have to go through the
clearances
and whatnot with the Air Force, with the government, with the FAA and whatnot.
And with weather and shit, that's like, that's going to be so planned ahead. Like,
yeah, so there are, so they mostly launch from military bases or NASA bases, so Houston, Florida, and what's the place in California? I'm blanking on it right now.
The one in California?
Mm-hmm.
Really? I thought it was landed in California.
They mostly landed in California, but they do.
There's a pad there too?
Yeah. And there was also, and this was the most interesting thing to me, and it's a real place. It exists over in New Mexico. They were building the space airport, essentially, spaceport.
Oh, that's the private one, right?
That's the private one that's actually built. Weirdos. It's actually built, but nobody launches from there yet.
And that's the one Virgin helped build, right?
Yep, because they were, trying to get in line with the whole
Virgin Galaxy.
Yep.
And then,
but even they had
what was Tesla's called, or what was Elon's called? He had a weird name for his too, the one that the private one that he was originally planning, and then shit canned. Wasn't him that had it too? There was another one. I thought
no, you're thinking of
That was SpaceX that had it.
No, there's a ton of different companies out there that actually
Or is it the same company that's trying to beat him to Mars?
Again, you have to narrow it down. There's a shit ton of companies actually that exist. It's really weird to actually, you hear about SpaceX, you know about Boeing, you know about Virgin
Galactic. Lockheed Martin.
Lockheed Martin. Well, Lockheed Martin and Boeing kind of worked together for a while there. But when you start getting into it, there are actually a lot of companies. Even Jeff Bezos, the owner of Amazon, owns Blue Origin.
Blue Origin. Yeah. There's the one. That was the one that was doing it.
Yeah.
Right? Isn't that the one that they were competing with against Virgin?
And they've been doing a lot of stuff because they even were competing with...
It's not orbit, but it's not really space.
Suborbital.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they get up to a certain part.
You don't get
part.
To leave the planet, but
you well, get you to leave the planet, right. And you get up to the high, like essentially space. It is essentially space,
zero
but you're not actually
in
going
way.
Into a stable orbit. You're just going doing a ballistic trajectory, you know, going up and a controlled down. A
couple minutes,
that's where that spaceport was supposed to come in handy. They wanted companies to be able to launch from there and be able to land there. It's just that nobody's really done it yet.
What's that?
Even Virgin
time?
Galactic had a setback when they lost White Knight 2, I believe it was. Yeah,
because you don't travel with it, right? Like you basically go up and then come down virtually the same place, right?
I believe that's what they were looking for in...
like they catch you when you come down on a plane or whatever?
No. So,
like,
the end-all be-all of what they wanted to go for was something that could take off from the ground, go up, and then land. What Virgin Galactic was doing is they would start from an airplane...
Oh, that's
drop
what it was.
Off and then launch, go up and then come back down.
Yeah, and land the craft as is.
Yeah,
but you wouldn't travel though, right? Like, you don't
so
go from here.
You technically
to
could. You could travel.
But that
and,
whole plan wasn't right because it wasn't traveling to somewhere.
No, it wasn't. It was more of just it's. Think of it as like a really expensive ride to say that you've gone to space. Essentially, that's.
Yeah, I mean, it's more than I could say. Someone could go, "Oh, I went to space." I'm like, "Well,
yeah,
I haven't."
Because I think Virgin Galactic was. Like, pre-ordering seats for like $20,000 or some insane.
No, it was like $200,000.
It was like $200,000.
Stupid, yeah. And there's a bunch of weird celebrities that did it too. Like Sigourney Weaver is one of the first ones that do it that signed up for it.
Hell, I would do it.
Yeah, well, okay. Of course you would. The hardest erection ever.
Right?
He's like, yo, does the seatbelt fit around a fucking dick? And learn today.
Yes, we specially designed them. You put them in here, like it's like a space.
It's like instead
slot.
Of a 5-point harness, it's a 17-point harness because you have to lock on the cup.
Uh huh.
Like, sir, please put that away. Like, no.
Put over your special space condom. Gross. Just like all over the place, and you don't want it floating.
You don't. No, you don't want someone floating. Like when zero gravity cuts out. You don't want globs of your. Dispense children to hit people, strangers in the face.
Yeah, it ruins the experience.
People will get upset. That's just a thing that's going to happen.
Yeah.
Like, you think people get upset if you assume their gender. What if you put your baby batter all over them, unwarranted?
In space.
In space. Well, out of space, because at that time you're... Well, I guess, yeah.
It just depends on when it happens.
When you start to fall is when gravity would actually pick back up, right? And then it would go everywhere. I guess if they were... Went down, it could go up.
It just depends on free fall speeds.
Yeah.
And what they're actually doing. Like White Knight was like more of like a glider, so you'd be more like the space shuttle or a plane.
Potentially, you could get a Gallagher situation where you would end up with stuff on you that you probably don't want.
Yes.
And it would be all Joe's.
And a more realistic idea, that would be awful for like somebody who vomits.
Yeah, for sure.
Because there's a reason why they call that that... plane the vomit comet that NASA has.
Well, that's one of the things you have to go into to test your aptitude for it, right?
Actually, I don't know if they
one.
I don't know if they had like because if you're talking about from an astronaut's point of view, yes, they do that. They
oh
do
yeah,
that
now I'm talking about you're not
yeah,
talking
if you're talking
about
like
no, I'm talking
literally
like
the dude,
astronauts.
Yeah. Because I don't think there's any type of vetting that they do for literally the guy who...
No, you pay your $250,000
yeah,
whatever
you're
it is
like, okay, have a good, sign this waiver, you're not going to have a heart attack or blah, blah, blah.
Your money goes to us not crashing, but everything else is up to you.
Yeah. But
the size of the vomit bags would have to be ridiculous.
I assume that they're like but normal like, ones. And they couldn't just be have...
like, oh, because you ever seen one? Like it's just a roll, like you roll it shut and like it has a little bendy thing on it.
I've actually never seen one.
Really?
No, because I...
They don't put them in to seat backs anymore.
Okay.
You have to request one, which is weird.
Stewardess, I'm vomiting.
Hey,
I need a bag.
I need a vomit.
Never mind. Yeah. Can I get some tissues?
Can I get some moist towelettes? Yeah, like...
In a bag of peanuts?
Yeah, it used to be... like. I didn't travel a lot on planes when I was younger. It was always driving places.
Oh, no, same here, yeah.
Fucking terrible. Yeah. When you're a kid, it's just that's the worst thing ever.
Yeah,
and it, obviously, when we were growing up, flying was fucking stupid expensive.
Yeah,
not that it's cheaper now, but like back then, it was like if you flew somewhere, you're like, dang, your parents rich as fuck.
Right, that was like half your vacation money just yeah. going into a round trip flight.
I remember I was probably 16 or 17 the first time I actually flew.
Mm-hmm.
Which is pretty normal, I think.
Really. I think that's about...
For our age people.
Yeah, that's about what I did.
Nowadays, like, fucking little kids get on planes, no problem. Like, by themselves.
Yeah.
Which is... Oh, we'll leave them on a plane by myself.
Sure. There's going to be somebody picking them up at the other end.
Yeah, there's yeah. bathrooms on those planes. They're going to get diddled by somebody.
Oh.
You have to... If you're a sex offender and you were getting on a plane, would you have to excuse yourself if a kid got on? Would you have to let them know, like, hey, I'm a sex offender?
I actually don't know.
I don't want to look that up, because then...
No, because that sounds like something really weird. Bad stuff. Yeah. I don't know what the rules of that are. Like, obviously, you can't live within so many yards of a school. Of a school, but, you, like, out in regular world...
You can't
world,
work that close, though, to a school, either. Like, but, you have to literally stay away from a school and playgrounds and shit.
Right.
Like... I know, it's like 100 yards or something. It's got to be more than that. 100 yards is a football field. That seems really close.
Because like
you can get binoculars and just jerk it from there.
Oh, God.
I'm just saying.
I know you are. But when you go out, like, obviously you can't be like, oh, shit, I need to go get groceries and there's children there.
Yeah.
You know? So I don't think that...
Yeah, but, like, that's, I mean, oh, actually, yeah, I guess it's, that'd be similar.
Yeah.
We just tattoo pedo on their foreheads.
Giant bear. This is pedo.
Yeah. Giant bear that says pedo.
Pedo bear?
Yeah. Gross. And funny. I'm going to give you that. Yeah. So don't be one of the first people to fly to space. Space, air quotes. Let a few dumb celebrities die first.
Well, we're not going to have the money. I couldn't even win because there was another company, X-Core, that was doing the...
It's the Russian one, right?
Nope, it's not Russian.
Oh, no, that was the one that actually sent someone into space, though.
No.
Didn't, like, Lance Bass or something from, like...
No.
One of those boy bands. I'm not too sure which one it's actually from. I didn't want to say it's NSYNC. He, like, got a chance to go, like, on a rocket, right?
They haven't...
Or was that something I saw in Robot Chicken?
I don't know about that because X-Core, as far as I... No company, as far as I'm aware, and I have been out of the more private space news as of the past couple of years, because I did volunteer for a very short time for a guy out of Mesa that was essentially doing that. He wanted to do ground takeoff and go to suborbital. His idea was to actually launch small satellites and land. But X-Core, at the same time that I was doing that, was developing some really cool engines for theirs. But they didn't. They were years away from this. This was like 3-4 years ago. So they're probably closer now. But they were at that time. They were years away from actually putting the spacecraft into operation. In fact, last year or 2 years ago that when was that axe promotion for going into space?
Oh, it was a bunch of years ago.
That was a bit, because that was X-Core. A seat on X-Core's flight. And I don't think that hasn't happened yet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this is the story I was talking about, Lance Bass. So Lance Bass, if you don't know who he is, he's from NSYNC, which I was right. Nailed it.
Yeah.
so proud of myself. He was either, it was, a 50-50 shot. It was Backstreet Boys or NSYNC, because I knew it wasn't New Kids on the Block. I know all them. Not personally, that would be dope.
Right.
This says pop star Lance Bass's dreams of going into space move officially or have officially gone pop, which is funny because it's a pop singer.
Mm-hmm.
The Russian space agency. That's
okay. Who it was. The Russians will launch people for like money.
Yeah. Notified NASA that the NSYNC singer won't fly to the International Space Station next month. That's what it says. And this was in 2002.
Yeah. The Russians will yeah. do that for money. Like you're. There was a God. I can't remember the guy's name just because. Fuck it. It was some millionaire that launched up with the Russian space crew a year or two ago, and it was just literally, yeah, I got millions of dollars. Here's some millions of dollars to pay for my seat. Flew him up to the International Space Station, and then came back down. Oh, did they say how much it is?
$20 million.
Yeah.
So all right, so. Bass hoped to rocket away from Kazakhstan. That's the thing, right? Kazakhstan. On
yeah, it's the place that Russia launches all their stuff from.
It's their NASA version, right?
Yeah.
I like in this article from Billboard, they had to tell you what NASA stood for. Like, you don't know what fucking NASA is. So they broke, like, National Aeronautics and Space Administration, in parentheses, NASA.
Nice.
Aren't you supposed to do it the other way around? Like, yeah, you put like the acronym and then you first, show what it is?
Then you're like, hey, it's this.
It's fucking Billboard. They're useless anyways. So it says, Bass had hoped to rocket away from Kazakhstan and on October 28th, boosted by corporate sponsors in a 7-part television documentary, but TV producers failed to raise the estimated $20 million fare, and Russia space officials last week kicked Bass off the upcoming crew.
Makes me wonder how much they actually raised for it.
I don't know. I mean, if they're going to try to cheat them. Like, they're like, oh, we totally get the money.
Oh, yeah, we totally get the money. We could do like $10 million now and $10 million when he lands, just because, you know, you want to make sure he lands, you know, correctly.
In Soviet Russia, rocket fighter you.
More like in Soviet Russia, you land on the ground and there may be bears and stuff around when you land.
They do water landing. They do like straight up land landings.
No, they do, because Russia's not really near water, or at least any accessible.
Oh, he would have been the youngest person to ever go to space at 23.
I would hate him so much. I mean, not that I really care for
Holy
him.
Holy shit, that was 15 years ago. I just did the fucking math in my head.
Yeah.
Holy Christ!
Yeah, we're old.
Oh my God, that dude's 48.
Oh, he's old.
No, wait, 23, 15, 38, right? Am I wrong on that?
He was 23 when it...
15 years ago.
15 years ago, yeah.
38. So, yeah, I was right,
38.
Oh, he's almost my age. Fuck me, Jesus. No, not to him. He's that way. Not that he would choose me. I mean, Joey Fatone would easily be a first target for me. So, yeah, I remember hearing about that, and I think Robot Chicken made fun of it. Or... Family Guy or one of the fucked up shows that we watch. Not even South Park. Can't remember. I just like the they said they've officially withdrawn Mr. Bass from the flight. It was the spokesperson. Deborah Ran? I don't know. That's R-A-H-N. It's Ran? I don't know.
Yeah, here it is here. That so means. It's American businessman Dennis Tito became history's first space tourist, paying his own way to the International Space Station aboard the Russian Soyuz spacecraft. Plunked down $20 million for it.
What's that round trip? How long? Does he just go, they dock, and he comes back? Or does he just get to stick up there for like a week vacation? How does that work?
Well, he would stay up there as long as that Russian crew would be up there.
But
so,
is it one of those things where like he... Well, they don't return rocket right away, right?
No.
Oh, that's true.
Or they...
So your $20 million can get you a good amount of time in space.
Yeah, I'm sure he spent a month or so up there. Because he'd be returning with the crew. They don't send a crew up there just to return. You know, they'll send the crew up there with supplies. They're going to switch out...
Whoever was up there before.
Yeah.
Did they wait for a return flight?
Like, yeah.
So go up. There's a team there already. Mm-hmm. You dock your rocket. You take all your shit off. You off. All supplies off. Those dudes get back in your rocket and then come back.
If that's what their mission calls for, yeah. There are other guys. There are other ones like SpaceX up until, well, they're at the 10 launches right now, I believe, for resupplies, which is literally just supplies.
And there's no one on it, right?
There's no one on it.
It's just an unmanned rocket goes up, they fill it up, it comes down, right?
Yeah. So mostly the astronauts, they don't really switch out very often.
Okay.
Yeah, they're up
there
for...
That would have to be, though.
They're up there for a while, for a few
months.
Did it say
how long it was there?
I was briefly skimming through that, but...
That seems cool, though. Like, $20 million... How much do you think it costs NASA to launch a rocket? Since they're not officially a government company, it's privately owned. They do a lot of contracts. It's not government though.
It's
right?
government.
I thought it was government contracts though.
No, they give out government contracts for it.
But
it is government. It's totally funded by government. It's totally a government institution.
What's that California-based company that works with them all the time?
8 months, I think it says. It says 8 months at Star City, so I'm wondering if that's not how long he spent there.
8 months?
But that sounds about right for, like...
A round trip type thing?
Yeah, for an astronaut.
And how long does it take to get there?
Could take a day, depending on their orbit.
Because you have to wait till it gets in, obviously...
Because you can launch at any
fucking
time.
You missed it. Like,
you can launch at any time, and then you go into one orbit. It's not.
And you aim for it, right?
Yeah, then you change orbits to get to the space station. So it can take like a day.
Yeah, because you don't fly directly to it. You just, like, you would fucking kill everybody.
Yeah.
Because your velocity.
You'd have to have, like extremely good aim.
Because you fly up and you match their speed, right?
Well, you'd fly up and put yourself into a parking orbit. So you'd be in that orbit until. Until your orbit would match the space station's orbit in a way that you're not going to use a whole lot of fuel to actually get into the space station's orbit.
Yeah, it's not like parking a car. You know, just drive. You don't fly right to it and just goonk.
No, you fly up. You put yourself into a certain orbit. You spend so much time in that orbit until you hit to the right place where, when you burn, it puts you into the same orbit as the space station, and then you catch up with them, or they catch up with you. It depends on which orbit you either do.
So they can't snag you because they'd be going too fast. How fast did that go again?
They're going 17,000 miles per hour, more than that, probably.
Fucking Christ, that's fast. And that's why in Gravity, that crazy-ass movie, that shit just fucking, rocketed through things, because when it broke apart, shit was flying at 17,000 miles an hour.
Yeah, it's essentially, for the most part, going faster than a speeding bullet. And that's why it's so difficult to pinpoint the space station and whatnot going across the sky. Like, you can look up and see it, and it's literally just going, ooh.
Because what we see the after image, though, right? Because by the time the light gets to us, it's moved so far, right?
Yeah, that's going to be a very small.
What I'm saying is, we don't actually see the actual thing. What it was, right?
Yeah, you're saying it's more of a relativity thing. Based on the distance, you're not seeing where
you're not
seeing where it is. You're seeing where it was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's not like you don't see this. Oh, here's it. It's like a light, like a.
Yeah,
streak,
it takes
right?
very high speed camera in order to actually try and capture that.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you're just seeing a streak of light
go
by.
That's what I figured.
Yeah, but as far as the gravity stuff, you're looking at stuff that's within the same orbital path, but not in the same orbit.
Yeah,
that's why that can be so descriptive. Because otherwise, you're looking at something that's more relative, like when you are docking the space station and the Dragon.
Every time I say docking, I just get this.
Don't.
The giggles
don't.
Fucking time. I've said it like 3 times and I just giggle in my head. By the time you said it like right now, I don't know why I needed to bring it up. But every time one of us says docking, it goes again. I giggle and it's so fucking dumb.
Yeah.
I
think I know why too, and we won't get into that.
It's ridiculous. I know. I painted on something for Joe. Go ahead. Anyways.
But you got to realize, yeah, they're going 17,000 miles and 17,000 miles an hour. But relative to each other, when you're in the same orbit, going the same direction, you're maybe going a couple feet per minute or something like that.
Gotcha. We obviously it's 17,000 miles per hour compared to us fixed on the surface, right?
Yeah, so it's one of those ones that depends on the observer and which and what you're trying to observe the is the speed at which you're going. Because, yeah, from an outside perspective on the Earth, it's going 17,000 miles an hour. It is actually traveling 17 miles an hour, but if you're on the space station and you're looking at the Dragon capsule or something that's actually coming to dock with it, between those two, they're only traveling. God damn it.
It's so
they're
bad.
Only traveling like at a couple feet per minute because obviously you only
they've already
have
sped up that speed.
Well, because you only not have you only have so many chances to try and get a
say it. A chance to dock.
A chance to dock.
So we're so mature on the show,
right?
That's why we're so adults. And not to like toot your own horn. Which is, I don't think is a term you can say to someone else. But that was the thing, like about talking about space debris. I had two questions. One is, or two questions and a statement. Statement would be, one of your projects when you were in school was design something to try to catch debris, right?
Was to deorbit debris.
Deorbit debris.
Yes.
Now, the question comes from. Wasn't there just recently something you talked about on here, or was it to me directly?
No, it was
about
on
like
here.
A weird net thing, right?
Yeah, it was on here.
Did I ask you what's the relative speed of those things traveling?
Of the actual
debris, most
debris?
Of it.
Most of it is going to be travel. It's going to depend on where its orbit is. So if you're looking at stuff that's like right around the International Space Station, it's going to be going 17,000 something. Miles
and
per
hour. Are they the furthest out of anything?
No, they're actually the closest. It's,
oh,
it,
oh
be
so satellites are beyond them?
Yeah, so... and
ID4 lied to us.
Yeah. No, yeah.
Some bullshit.
Well, even gravity was something that Neil deGrasse Tyson kind of tore apart because the International Space Station doesn't exist on the same orbit as those satellites.
So the debris wouldn't have hit them.
So the debris wouldn't have hit them.
It would have had to travel outward to get it, right?
It would have traveled inward. So essentially, it would have had to have lost.
Movies are bullshit.
It would have had to have lost velocity because that's essentially how you get to another orbit. So you're up in space and you're at the International Space Station. Well, you want to get to a satellite. Well, what you do is you do a burn in the way that you're going
to speed up,
and that takes you to a
farther out.
You stop the burn, and for all intents and purposes, you'll stay in that orbit, and you'll just keep going around and around. Now, I say for all intents and purposes because you actually, depending on the distance away from the Earth, you will slowly go
in. It's an oval, though, right?
It doesn't have to be. It can be...
The orbit was always an oval. Is it round?
It can be round. It could be circular.
Makes more sense, though.
It could be circular. It can be elliptical is what they would call it instead of oval.
Yeah, that's what I meant. I just couldn't think of what it is. My brain's burnt out.
It just depends on exactly what you need to accomplish from your orbit. If you're looking for something like DirecTV, their satellites are going to be circular because you don't want to...
You want even coverage.
Exactly. But you'll have scientific satellites that will want to be able to get better images of certain areas.
Also to change their...
So you could change the orbit, but, I mean, they'll operate in a elliptical orbit where they... They'll be further away at one point, but they'll be closer at another.
To get closer, yeah.
Yeah.
And that changes, though, right? Because obviously the planet spins, and their elliptical orbit doesn't...
They can be... It just depends on how you do this. They can actually be locked into the same... into the exact same orbit. You have to think about it in three dimensions. They could be locked on the same plane, and the Earth will rotate underneath it. Right?
Are you fucking kidding me?
What?
There's 2,271 satellites currently in orbit.
That seems low.
I don't know when this specific number was picked, but I wanted to ask a question, which I didn't know you wouldn't probably know the answer right away. I was going to ask, how many satellites does DirecTV have in orbit at a time? And I typed in how many satellites, and I need to redo my question, and it just comes up with this little article that says, this definition makes our count much less because it indicates by only spacecraft and not debris that orbits the Earth, which is not what I was asking. But then it says, the Goddard Space Flight Center's lists 2,271 satellites currently in orbit. So is that what they track, or is that what's actually in orbit? Because this picture shows lot of orange dots.
I would have to question a little bit more, because that does that include inactive satellites, or is that just active satellites? But since you wanted to know that, I did look up how much space debris is.
I heard that's a terrible number.
More than 500,000 pieces of trackable debris.
Which means they're a certain size, because there's nothing else we can't pick up, right?
So, like, for our project, it was we found, I believe, that the lowest size was 10 centimeters. So it's fairly small, 10 centimeters.
Like, yeah, it's not very, I mean,
it's fairly small.
Is it less
big.
Than an inch?
I believe that's less than an inch. But you got to realize that even, like, paint flecks are going to be something that is absolutely awful traveling at 17,000 miles an hour.
Jesus. Fucking crazy. My watch is going off. Crazy. This is the DirecTV thing again, because it just makes me, the DirecTV, not that we're sponsored by them, has the greatest reach of satellite. This is a known fact, apparently. I read off Wikipedia. They have the most coverage of any company that uses it for consumers. I'm pretty sure, like, NASA probably has, like, the most and stuff. Or government agencies, I should say. Us and others.
Yeah.
There are 5 defunct DirecTV satellites that, according to this, are still there. Okay, you don't retract, you don't get them back, right?
For the most part, most companies have just we set it and we forget it.
Oh, here's your question about who builds their satellites.
There are companies that are at least planning to be a little bit more environmentally conscious. They have a certain amount of lifespan that they build into them, and after that they'll deorbit it, and it'll just burn up in the atmosphere.
Oh, they make it, and obviously they make it. So they are.
Yeah.
This doesn't tell me. On here, this little chart doesn't tell me what it is. It doesn't matter. That's not the question. Some trivia for you. DirecTV 1, 2, 3, and 1R. We're all built by, and those are the names of the satellites, we're all made by Hughes Electronics, starting in 1993. I don't know what happened to 4, I don't know what happened to 4 or 5, but they're still running. They're still up and running. They're not defunct yet, according to this list. But for some reason, 4 and 5 were launched in 2001 and 2002, respectively. So I don't know why 6 was launched, 5 years before that, but whatever. Space Systems and Laurel is the one that did DirecTV 6. 5, Galaxy 3C, a bunch of other ones. And then Boeing did a bunch of other ones too. And then there's another one in here, like the last one they launched, which was in 2015, which is DirecTV 15. 15 is a year. That's pretty clever. Oh, are they all? No, that's not the same year. I was like, that can't be right, because 2009 was 12. Astrium Eurostar is the make of the satellite. I don't know. It doesn't tell me. I'm gonna click on it and see who actually makes it. But it sounds like it's probably Astrium is the company, because when you look at it, there are two different links. Eurostar E3000 is a different link from Astrium. So I don't know who Astrium is, but maybe you can get a job with them. I mean, they haven't got any more work from DirecTV for almost 2 years, but I'm pretty sure it's not a fucking... they're in Paris, France. Sorry, buddy.
Yeah, that's pretty far.
Yeah, I don't think they're just going to hand out American jobs. Yeah, Astrium.
But that'd be another question: is like
EADS company
who actually controls their satellites? Because I know
who's EADS.
HughesNet actually has a office here.
Do they really?
Yep,
that's cool.
That tracks their satellites, and I applied over there, and I actually did get an interview with them that went pretty well, but didn't go anywhere.
So the very first DirecTV satellite. We're getting super far off fucking topic here, but that's all right. Wait, actually, we didn't have a topic. We haven't started anything yet. The first DirecTV satellite that was launched December 17th, 1993, DirecTV 1 is the name of the satellite. It's a Hughes Electronics HS-601, which begs the difference what happened to 5 through 1, but we'll go into that later, some other time.
We don't talk about that.
We don't. Orbit slot is 109.8 degrees west. I know, the only reason I know what that actually means is because that's what you have to angle the dish at. You have to match those for the different bands that they deliver. Not those ones, because that's a defunct one. But the launch vehicle was an Ariane, I don't know. I know, that's not probably how it's said, but it's A-R-I-A-N-E. Ariane, right? Ariane. A-R-I-A-N-E. Ariane. I can't think of how else to say that.
Okay, we'll go.
It's
with
fucked
that.
Up, right? Yeah. So, Ariane 4 was the name of the launch vehicle. When I clicked on it to see who makes it, it's in Europe, and the company Ariane Space.
Mm.
Rockets all whites. So that was weird. The 52nd Ariane 4 was carrying. This is a picture they're showing here. Is the TopX Poseidon. And the rocket looks super wicked. But it looks like, that looks like NASA shit that it's sitting on. But I could be wrong. I'm not a space person. But I would think that's in Europe, though, right? They're not going to fucking ship that shit over here.
No, the Europeans have their own launch facilities.
So DirecTV was launched into space by Europe's.
But, I mean, you're launched by the lowest bidder. So.
Oh, that's weird.
What?
So it says here, the history of this company. In 1973, 11 countries called together by the European Space Agency, ESA. Apparently my thought process, if you're supposed to put the acronym and then tell what it is probably wrong, because Wikipedia had the same way, like four times on this page. Just alone, there's 7. Sorry, 7 on this page that do that way. So obviously, I'm wrong on how you do that. Correcting myself. Decided to take Europe down on its own path in the space field. 6 years later, in 1979, again, Ariane 1, probably pronouncing it wrong, was launched from Kourou, K-O-U-R-O-U, Kourou? Kourou? I don't know. Following development work on variants 1, 2, and 3, Ariane 4 was able to draw on the experience gained from these earlier variants. I don't know if that means they weren't actually launched or not. I'm not too sure. The program went through beginning in 1983, so I was 2. It was the first successful launch was on June 15th of 1988, so I was 7, almost 7. The system became the basis for the European satellite launches, with a record of 113 successful and 3 launch failures. Ariane 4 provided a payload increase from 1,700 kilograms from Ariane 3, the maximum of 4,800 kilograms, to the geostationary transit orbit, or GTO. GTO... apparently has more to usage, because GTO's geostationary transit orbit, definitely not what the car stands for when you say a GTO.
No.
On a GTO, that's not what it stands for, because that shit don't leave the fucking planet. The record for Ariane 4 to GTO was 4,946 kilograms. There you go.
Hmm.
Pretty interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Little bar trivia for you if you ever need to know. And again, spelling that out makes me think I'm saying it wrong, but it just seems so right to say it that way, because it just seems like how it's supposed to say.
It doesn't sound right at all, but it's the way it's spelled makes me think that's how it's said.
It's gonna be one of those like European things. No, it's Aaron.
It's like, you're no, like, motherfucker, oh. How is that Aaron? But they're European, they're weird. But the last satellite to be sent up to space, I said it was Astrium is the company, and it's an EADS company. What is it called? An EADS company is the name of it. I don't know. Successor is the Airbus Defense and Space. How is that? What? I don't understand any of this.
What? Airbus is a plane manufacturer over in Europe. It's actually one of the biggest manufacturers in Europe.
Well, apparently.
Might even be one of the one of the biggest in the world.
Astrium was founded in December of 2006. Not very old. Seems like a company should be really old if it's shooting shit into fucking space.
Tell that to Elon Musk.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I mean. Like, I mean, he's something different. It's newer. I'm saying like 2006 seems like it's fucking super young for being this established. But then again, I think this is talking about Astrium, and they were because they had a predecessor, which was Airbus Defense Space. So they're probably a little
kind of like spun it off, is what it sounds like.
Their revenues, though, and this was marked in 2012 as $5.8 billion or euros,
which is probably like $6 billion.
They have 18,000 employees as of 2012. That seems like a lot, but doesn't seem like enough. You think there's a lot of, like, you would think you need a lot of people to send things into space properly,
right? Because you have to imagine, like, there's so many little things that need to be designed and put together.
Yeah, so many
that you would think that you'd have more people working on it. Yeah,
and I know these projects take like forever to actually get up and running.
That's the thing, like, that sucks about all that type of stuff.
And that's probably why you have so many, though, because you have so many teams working on different aspects of not just a single rocket, but multiple rockets.
Yeah.
Because you're not going to have a same guy who's designing the bolts for one work on another one at the same time. It seems like that's a bad idea. It's bad juju.
No, and you're right. Like, they'll have the engineer, and that's all he does, is he literally will work on that one thing.
Until that project's done and it's been either scrapped or flew into space, right?
Yeah.
And then he moves on to something else.
Yep.
And that's years at a time. Like,
a lot of times that can be
the suicide rate of anything from must be so high.
No, because these guys are like weird and love their stuff.
When did they blow up, though? Like, three rockets failed on that Aryan one. I mean, I don't know if they blew up, but I mean, three of them failed.
Yeah, but you have another group of guys that working on including the people who design the stuff that go through and look to see what happened.
Back then, they probably just shot them. And then here's your research.
It's in Russia.
In Soviet Russia, gun shoots you.
That's pretty much how it goes, yeah.
That's interesting, though. It just makes it's weird to think that something like DirecTV obviously has all this history. They've been around for so long. 1993. I can do the math if I wanted to. Not gonna. But it's just weird to think, though, that, they're defunct in 2013. Astrium was.
Oh, so what, did they launch that satellite and then go out of business?
Apparently so. They were, the predecessor is, I'm guessing, who bought them out, right? Or no, successor.
Successor would be who bought them out.
Yeah, so that's Airbus.
Oh, Airbus bought them out.
Predecessor was that the EADS space. Okay. Why didn't it say that? That's weird. I don't know. Maybe Wikipedia has their facts weirdly crossed. But Astrium in 2015. Oh, no. Okay, I get this, though. That's different, though. Aryan 5. How the fuck? They reuse rockets, right?
No.
Are you sure?
They will have a line of rockets that are same type? The same. Yeah.
Aryan 5 is used a bunch.
Yeah.
Like, so is this Proton M.
That's going to be a specific Proton design M. of rocket.
Like a model, right? Okay. That makes more sense.
Because like all of the...
It's like a Fabergé egg. You make one and done.
All the Apollo missions were launched on Atlas rockets.
Because it's a model, right? Do they variate, though? Like Atlas 1, Atlas 2?
They can have small variations in them. But
for most parts, Atlas 1 that model can be used multiple times, just not the same unit.
Yeah,
it's a lot of shit gets broken down anyways, right?
Yeah, and that's the problem with space launches. That's one thing that Elon Musk and even Blue Origin actually...
Yeah, because they want to have one that goes up, stays whole, and comes down and can reuse,
the first
right?
stage will be reusable, yes.
Yeah, well, the rest of it gets burnt up.
Well, the rest of it would go up into space.
And stay there. Because one of the things they... Well, I mean, again, I go by movies, so because that's my... I've never actually... I mean, I've seen some stuff, but like, you can't trust all that weird shit you see from space video. But a lot of times, like when they break apart, the bottom half, that's still in our atmosphere, though, right?
You're talking about like the second stage. So yeah. you're talking about like you're watching Apollo 13. You see it goes up. That first stage breaks off. That goes into the water.
Yeah, we go pick that up, right?
No.
It just sinks to the bottom of the ocean?
Yeah.
Fuck, we litter everywhere.
Fuck yeah.
Jesus Christ, we're the worst. Go ahead.
Then you get closer into space and you have the second stage drops off. So, like, you see that giant cone, or not cone, but
the cylinder
that's coming
drop
back.
Away, right?
Yeah, that'll eventually fall back to Earth as well.
A lot of that burns up, though, right? Oh, no, it can't because it didn't going in, right?
Some of it will burn up, but, like, how much of it will burn up?
Interior probably has more, at that point, would get more coming back because when it was going out, it was covered by the rest of the rocket. When it falls out,
yeah, you do have the heat shield that's on the outside that's
obviously
more.
I fucking hope it works that way.
The inside,
imagine heat shield is one way only. Like, you better make it all the way out,
yeah,
because this shit is not working coming back in. How the fuck we get back?
We'll send you a bunch of heat shield. We'll send you a bunch of heat shield tiles, and you gotta
slow. You have to go not to get burnt up.
Glue them on. Because
that guy, the Halo guy. He's technically jumping through what would burn him up, right? But he's going slow enough where he doesn't heat up that bad.
Yeah.
You could go. Could you go fast, but at a really slight angle and not burn up, or that just cause it? Because it's the
literally coming directly from Apollo 13. You come in too shallow. You're going to skip off the atmosphere. You come in too steep, and you're going to burn straight into it because you're going so fast.
So speed is what. Obviously, it's the friction.
Speed and angle that you're coming in at, you have to optimize for what you're doing.
Oh, because if you went straight in,
you can absolutely go straight in if you want to protect the hell out of your vehicle.
You're super fast, you can get through as fast as possible, right?
Right, but the problem is that no human being is going to be able to
survive the speed needed to do it, right?
That deceleration.
Yeah, because you'd have to slow down, otherwise you just fucking hit the ground and die anyways.
And die anyway. But if you go too shallow, you're
going to
literally...
Once you ejected, how fast would it have to be going, though? You're going right, and you're aiming right for the water, right? You're in a capsule inside of it. If you eject it out...
You're dead.
Oh, shit. Yeah, because the velocity is the same. Fuck. You're dead. You're mixed up anyways. Yeah, because you're going too fast anyways.
You deploy a parachute. Well, suddenly you have such a huge force, you either break the parachute and break your neck, or just break your neck.
Or become liquid human inside of a capsule.
Yeah. So...
Which, by the way, would be an amazing ending to a fucked up space story. He landed and they like get him pour him out like all right no he did not make it
well
yikes
gross
and didn't heap enough to scramble him so it wasn't even like solid he just like literally just runs out
you'd have to be able to liquefy bone at that point that would be awful
that'd be fast as fuck
exactly
so it would just rip him apart though right like shit would just start coming off of him terminal velocity is when you're heart stops, right?
No. Terminal velocity is just when you hit the...
A certain speed, right?
The speed at which... The fastest speed that you can essentially go based on your...
Physical dimensions and everything.
Dimensions
weight and all this
and
stuff.
Everything, yeah.
But so you have to be pushed past that to break something.
Well, you can break stuff at...
Terminal velocity. But I'm saying resistance against you is what causes a break.
If you're looking at... If you're trying to say
how fast would you have to go to rip flesh off a bone? That's my query.
But like on impact?
No. Like in the air.
In the air.
So I'm in a rocket, right? And I'm like, hey, I'm gonna roll the window down, and I stick my hand out, right? How fast would I have to be going?
I don't know.
Probably snap off.
You'd have to be going an incredibly insane amount of speed.
NASA needs
because
to test
surprisingly,
this to
the body can take a lot of.
The bone
pressure.
Would break before anything else would like, give out. Because like even that when you're in space,
skin
your skin holds in that
stretchy.
Shit when it like erupts. Because I know they'll blow veins out and shit that they have to later amputee, but it doesn't leak out of the body because it keeps it all inside, right?
As far as like explosive decompression.
Yeah.
You do have a lot of physical problems that occur.
Because we talked about this before. Shit would freeze, like your outside body would freeze before anything else, though, right?
You would get really cold, yes.
And sunburn.
Your
like
body would expand. You wouldn't pop or anything.
Again, movies fucking lied. Now, it's the thing, though. I don't know if we talked about this before. We're going off. This is fine. This is what the show's about today.
Tim Robbins.
Mission to Mars?
Mission to Mars, yeah.
He froze completely when he took his helmet off.
Yes.
And that's horseshit, right?
That's horseshit.
Because otherwise the suit would have been frozen on the outside anyways.
See, the thing is that your body heat has nowhere to go.
Yeah.
So you're not going to freeze.
Because there's no air for it to be absorbed into.
There's no air. There's nothing that there's no physical.
There's nothing around you for air for the heat to
easily come off. Now, you do give off infrared heat, which,
yeah, which
eventually,
I mean,
you would freeze, but that would take maybe like a week to a month or something like
that.
And
he froze solid as soon as he took the helmet off, right?
Yeah, so that's total.
Don't save me.
That's total bullshit. He would have actually, because he almost died instantaneously. He like froze instantaneously.
Yeah, it was.
He literally would have survived depending on his different physical
attributes.
He could have probably survived for another 2 minutes. Because you're actually going to...
Because they could have got him.
They could have got him. Because he's going to die of...
The whole thing was that he was there to get
asphyxiation before he's going to die of any...
Oh, that's right. He would fucking suffocate first.
He'd suffocate first because...
Which is terrifying.
Yeah. So depending on how long his body could go without oxygen is how long that he could really survive.
Hypothermia is like not even a thing at that point.
It's not even a thing because you don't...
Before it set in, you'd be
dead. You don't lose heat, body heat enough in order to be able to do that. Now...
That movie is horseshit.
Yeah, that's total.
I mean,
horseshit.
They found a crazy, like, alien pyramid that's a face thing, but whatever. I mean,
plus they had that robot dog that went insane.
That thing pissed me off.
That was the dumbest thing to do.
What
ever.
Caused it to go corrupt? Like, how would an alien race know how to?
Well, no, it wasn't that. It was that. It was one of those stupid things where it's like it was originally designed for military use,
but
we reprogrammed it to
and then
be
like, it
this
snapped
thing.
And like decided to
and
be
it
a
snapped
killer.
And it's like oh. Default to military mode.
Which
it's like, why would you do that? Like,
why wouldn't you erase that?
Exactly.
Like, you're repurposing. You're not going to leave the old software in there.
Exactly.
Just in case you need a killer dog.
Yeah.
That's right. I forgot. I hate that movie.
I hate
why
it.
Why do I think I like that movie so much?
Because it has
I like
Tim
Ghost
Robbins?
Of Mars more than that movie, and that movie's terrible.
Ooh.
Yeah,
whoa.
I said it. I said it out fucking loud.
Oh.
Yeah, Jason Statham and Ice Cube on fucking Mars.
Jesus Christ.
I'll watch that. Every day before Mission to Mars.
Mission
to Mars
that,
pissed me off.
I watched that movie once and have never went back to
it. It was terrible, right?
Yeah.
The movie is fucking awful.
Yeah.
It's one of the worst movies
I will actually
ever.
Watch Mission to Mars more than I will
Who
watch
Who directed
that movie? Fuck, I don't
it makes
know.
Makes me think it's that fucking U-Bowl guy.
No.
Feels like one of his movies.
Mission to Mars? No.
No,
is
no.
Actually...
Ghost of Mars.
Oh, Ghost of Mars? No, that was...
Oh, wait a minute. Was that this...
God... Because it was
that the Stargate guys?
No,
that wasn't the one of the that wasn't old and Roland
Emmerich.
Right?
No, it was I want to say it was John Carpenter.
He wrote it though.
He wrote it, but he did direct some of his movies.
Yeah, I don't think he directed that one because I remember it was John Carpenter's
Brian De Palma.
Brian De Palma.
Brian De Palma.
That's a Brian De Palma movie?
That's a Brian De Palma movie.
Oh my
movie.
God! I guess everyone has a fucking Mr. now and then. That movie's terrible.
I don't recognize him from anything.
Brian De Palma?
I mean, like, I probably have
click
seen on
his name.
Movie.
You're gonna fucking.
I am.
You're gonna shit yourself when you see the movies this guy's made. Not all of them are great. Don't get me wrong. Brian De Palma's not like a fucking Steven Spielberg.
So I've heard of The Black Dahlia. I never saw it. Mission to Mars, Snake Eyes. Okay, Mission Impossible, 1996.
The OG one.
The OG one.
He's
Carlito's Way, The Untouchables.
Yeah.
Okay, so like a lot of his early stuff. Wow.
Yeah. Later okay. on, though, terrible movies.
Well, it's like it's
he has a weird gap too, if I remember correctly.
Well, it's literally like this like sweet spot because obviously his early stuff is his early stuff, but then he did Carrie. Then you have Scarface. I mean, he did some other stuff, but I don't recognize him. Wise Guys, The Untouchables. Which I actually really enjoy The Untouchables.
It's a great movie.
Yeah. They used to play it like every year on some channel. I don't remember what
it's
channel.
It's one of those crime ones they always show
yeah.
all the time. I mean, so many good movies.
Raising Kane, Carlito's Way, Mission Impossible 1996, Snake Eyes. And then it went Mission to Mars, Femme Fatale.
Black Dahlia.
Black Dahlia, Redacted, Passion, and apparently Lights Out.
What the fuck that is.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, he's the guy that did like Scarface and shit. Like when people are like, oh, Scarface is one of the greatest movies ever made. Which is not. I'm just going to tell you right now.
It's not.
Not at all. But yeah, I mean, so, I mean, Brian De Palma made that. I fucking forgot. Maybe I blocked out of my fucking mind that he made that movie. Mission to Mars is so terrible. All right, so go, Ghost, what's Ghost, who did Ghost of Mars? Let's look that up now. Now it got me fucking intrigued on who that. Ghosts of Mars. Oh, God, it's the first thing.
John Carpenter.
Oh, was he? Did he? Yep. Okay, he did direct it. That feels more correct, though.
Yeah.
Because it it was like something about, like, Mars vampires, if I remember correctly.
God, I don't know.
They said Ghost of Mars, but like it's, and it's one. It's funny because it's one of like Jason Statham's first movies that he's recognizable in,
which is weird
because he did like Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels and shit back in the day. Oh yeah, so here, yeah, this is what it is. This is my favorite part. So the possessed miners commit horrific acts of death and destruction along with self mutilation. They like, cut themselves into weird like. What looked like gills on their cheeks and shit. So fucking terrible. And it looked so bad.
Yeah.
When team leader Helena Braddock, Pam Grier, because that's who I mean, is murdered, Ballard must assume command. Ballard is that Ice Cube, right? No, Natasha
Henstridge.
Ice Cube plays something.
Desolation Williams.
That's the one, yeah, because he's a prison. He's a transport prisoner. Yeah. He's being transferred to Mars prison colony to be one of these miners. And Jason Statham's not a big character in it either. Like, he's pretty low on the fucking totem pole, if I remember correctly.
No, I don't even remember.
Jericho him. Butler. Jesus, fucking names are terrible. It's junk hard movie. They're never really that good. So it says, so team leader's killed. Ballard has to take over, right? So... they fight off the possessed miners, escape the town, and hopefully destroy the ghosts. Unfortunately, killing a possessed human merely releases the Martian spirit to possess another human. The team eventually decides to blow up a nuclear reactor to vaporize all the ghosts.
Got to nuke it from orbit. It's the only way to...
No. They're nuking it from the planet. If I remember correctly, and I could be wrong, they launch during the nuke. So it's like that action cliche like
explosion going on
in the background,
you.
Like
yeah.
Whatever. Yeah, it's so bad. But I'll watch that movie before I watch Mission to Mars for sure.
Yeah, I'll watch Mission to Mars before I watch this movie.
This movie's so
this
terrible,
movie is
too.
So terrible.
This one could have used James Woods or John Bon Jovi in it to be better,
right?
Yeah,
but I think that's why I actually like Mission to Mars because it actually has
good
Tim
actors
Robin.
In it.
Yeah, it has. Actors that you're like, oh, this could be a good movie, and it's not.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong.
Like,
but Tim Robbins and then what's his face from
Gary Sinise.
Gary Sinise, yeah.
Which is funny because like Apollo 18 or
13.
He has Gary Sinise in it. Apollo 18.
Yeah.
Or Apollo 18. That's the fucking zombie one on Moon, right?
Actually, I think it is, isn't it?
Yeah. It's the one. Movie was the thing. We wanted to go see it, and like we went to go see it. We finally decided to go see it, and it wasn't in theaters anymore.
Yeah.
And I wasn't going to waste money on it and like at home. That just makes me mad. I can dispose money at a movie theater and be upset, but if I buy a movie at home, it means I own it forever, which means I have to remind myself that I own it.
Yeah.
Like, fuck, why do I own Crystal Skull?
Or Stealth.
Well, I know exactly. Stealth was owned because it was one of those buy, like, triple packs, and it was like two movies I wanted in there, and it was that one.
You're like, oh,
I guess I'll divide the cost up, I'll pay this much money for those two movies, and I'll get Stealth for free.
Exactly.
Actually, to tell you the truth, I think Stealth is one of those ones you buy two, get one free. And I was like, well, Stealth doesn't people I like it, and I'll get Stealth. I don't think I've seen it. Terrible fucking movie.
Mission to Mars, all the way. It God has people in it that you're
it
like,
is, yeah, that would be one of those ones I picked. Yeah. I saw Mission to Mars in fucking theaters, and that still makes me fucking mad. Brian, tell me, you son of a bitch. I was going to say something before I went on my random movie tangent about something. Oh, here's a question. Space movie. You like space movies.
Yes, I do.
A lot of them are great. Some of them are terrible. Some of them are, you know, whatever, right?
Yeah.
Event Horizon. Do you like it or do you just like it? Have you seen it?
I have seen it.
Do you remember it?
Yes, I do.
Do you like it?
It burned an image. It burned that movie. I've only seen once.
The Skinned People, right?
I've seen it only once, and I've seen parts of it. After that, it's a whole thing because
it shows up on Sci-Fi all the time.
Yeah, it does now, but because it was a rated R movie, and I think what year did it come out?
Oh God, it was so long ago.
It was so long ago.
Sam Neill was in it. I'll look it up right now.
All I remember is that that it was out in Blockbuster. I loved what's his name? Sam Neill. You don't know who he is. He played Alan Grant in Jurassic Park.
One and three. Mentioned in two.
Yep.
Should show up in World.
So I was like, I was sold on this. It's a space movie. Jurassic Park. You know, he was in it. This is going to be cool. I know it's a horror movie, but you know what?
1997.
We'll see where this goes.
So that was, he was riding high on Jurassic Park 1, right? At that point? Yeah, it had to been.
It was a few years after, but yeah. Like, yeah. That would have put me at...
I was 16? No. 1997?
Yeah, I was 14 at the time.
16.
Yeah. So we rented. So that's just what I'm saying. So I was like 14 at the time. It was during the summer. It was a space movie. I wanted to see it. Rented it from Blockbuster. Watched it. Fuck, dude.
Yeah. We will ruin you. For sure.
Not what I was expecting. Because like I said, I knew it would be a horror movie.
4 years after Jurassic Park.
I did not expect it to be a movie where somebody was pulling their eyes out.
Yeah.
Or the Skinned People. Or all the other.
Or the room is covered in like human flesh stuff.
Yeah.
Didn't he end up having like weird emotional sex with it too?
Fuck, I don't know.
Because he went all cray cray and like, yeah.
But no, so I do like that movie. It is a movie that I don't really want to watch.
I'll say that one.
Because it was a fantastic movie as far as like acting and horror and
I mean, whatnot. He does some terrible movies. I forgot about that.
Yeah, no, he was not a person that would pick.
He's not a Harrison Ford at all.
That would actually pick good movies.
No. Like Jurassic Park, it wasn't even due to him. Like the movie's just fun.
Mm-hmm.
He did a version of the Jungle Book where he put Colonel Jeffrey Brighton. I don't know what the fuck that is. 1994 Jungle Book?
1994 Jungle Book.
They tried to... What is that? Holy shit! That's the one with the dude, the Asian dude that played Mowgli as an adult.
I don't know that one.
That's Jason Scott. Holy shit, I forgot about that movie. He was in that. Oh, God. That movie's terrible. Anybody who likes that movie, there's something fucking wrong with your head. That movie's fucking awful. Oh, God. That makes me upset.
But what was your question for why?
Because one of those movies where, like, that movie's, like, a super hit or miss with people.
Mm-hmm.
People either fucking hate it or people are like, eh. It's not one of those people, like, no one ever goes, yo, Event Horizon, best movie ever.
No, I would never say
that. It's one of those things where it's, like, you either hate it or you're like, eh, I've seen it.
Like, I liked it. Like, don't get me wrong. There are times where it's like, I should watch Event Horizon, but I don't want to. I won't.
You don't go out to watch it.
I don't go out to watch it.
You finally remember stuff, and then you remember other things. You're like, wait, no, oh, no, I need to sleep tonight. I'm not watching that. I was about to have spaghetti.
Which is totally weird because, you know me, literally, I started the beginning of this podcast saying that I sat there and watched or listened to the YouTube channel for his name is Mr. Knight. Just goes over the fucking just god-awful, creepiest shit ever. And yet we get to Event Horizon. So, like, I love ghost stories. I love that type of stuff.
Out, yeah.
But I think it's the visuals that I don't really care for. It's the
I just remember, like, the flashing the lights out. And the room would change to, like, have flesh hanging from it.
Yeah.
And it would flash again to be normal.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, he's going crazy. And, like, he skins himself or pulls skin off of himself and he, like, fucks the computer or something. I have to rewatch it, apparently. It's been a long time.
But I will watch parts of it on, like you said, it'll show up on not Netflix, on a Sci-Fi channel or something every once in a while.
If it shows up on Netflix, I'll watch it on Netflix next time I see it. I say that's probably on there.
It probably is on there.
That's fine, yeah.
But yeah, if it pops up on Sci-Fi Channel or whatnot, I will watch a couple of scenes of it because the idea is a really cool idea, you know. For those of you who don't know, it's essentially a movie where they invent this new engine that allows you to travel vast distances
in like a split second
by dropping you into another universe and then pulling you back out. But the inaugural engine or the inaugural ship that they use this on, called the Event Horizon, goes missing. And it shows up some time later orbiting Jupiter, I believe it is. And they send a crew out to go investigate. And essentially they find out that the universe that they dropped into was hell.
Essentially. And it was stuck on the edge of purgatory, right?
Or something like that. Yeah. And so, like, they were literally, like, possessed, you know, that's who Neil's character was, like, essentially possessed. And when he came back, he was trying to essentially, like, Doom, you know, try and bring about the end of the world type thing. So, like I said, the concept was really interesting. The CG and graphics, I think, even hold up to today. Like, it's pretty good work on all that stuff, but just the gore and the stuff I is what I really have a hard time with.
Am I reading this right? Can I watch? No, it's not. Oh, no. It's free on Amazon. It's on Amazon Prime.
It's on Amazon Prime?
I'm watching that shit. Not tonight. I need to sleep tonight. I have to be up early again. Fucking 4:30, dude.
Gross. Is that what time you have to be up, or what time you have to be at work?
I have to be there at 6:30.
That's what sucks about. Fucking traffic, dude. Well, that's what sucks about working all the way in fucking Scottsdale.
Yeah, no shit.
Did you talk to any of them about building a place out here?
I mentioned a couple times.
Yeah.
Ooh, Dark Planet is on there too. Oh my god, it's another terrible movie.
What was Dark Planet?
Dark Planet, same year, 1997.
Uh huh.
Has a bunch of people you've never heard of before.
It's a movie I don't really remember.
Yeah, for sure. And the poster is fucking terrible. So when a habitable planet is discovered on the far side of a dangerous wormhole, two factions fighting for control of Earth set aside their differences to send a joint mission to the planet. Intrigue and infighting threaten both the mission and mankind.
Wow, that sounds
awful. Fucking terrible. The movie's awful. It's also available on Prime. Oh, they have so many terrible fucking space movies on here. The Colony? Oh my god, I'm watching this too.
These are like movies I don't even know.
I watched so many of these back in the day. Fuck, it's Crisis is terrible. How am I not signed in?
I don't know.
I'm not signed in to Amazon, whatever. Dark Planet.
Aha, Prime Video. It's actually a good question. I wonder if I'm signed in on Prime Video.
There's a lot more on here that look terrible, too. Like Battlefield Earth. I don't know if it's on here, but that movie's terrible as well. That's a space-ish movie.
Yeah, I've never
technically
seen
go in space. Have you read the book, though? The book's super interesting.
Because I don't want to support idiot.
It's at this point, it's just steal it from the internet. The book's really interesting. The movie was just fucking terrible with the weird lizard tongue thing and like learning through a rock. It was dumb. And the fact they didn't look like they're supposed to. They look like cosplaying Klingons.
Rastafarians and
like it looks like someone's just trying to cosplay like Klingons and not doing a very good job. Because in the book they're like 9 feet tall and they have like actual bones sticking through their skin. And they don't speak English at all.
Okay.
So, like, you hear their dialogue, but it's, like, obviously translated for the story. And they essentially beat the guy, like, the people to death a lot of times. It's fucking weird. And there's, like, a pink or a purple atmosphere they have to pump into the area, so they have to breathe through the rebreathers. It's weird. Some terrible-looking movies on Prime, man. Love it.
Dude, I literally just searched for space on the Prime app.
Oh, really?
And I'm pretty sure I came up with a porno.
Fuck yeah, what's it called?
Space Thing.
Oh,
my says
God.
It's Buck Rogers for adults, and literally the cover art is essentially a naked girl.
All right. Oh my God, yeah, here it is. And it's a terrible cover too.
Yeah.
Full Moon. I have to have Full Moon and Amazon. That's horseshit. I'm fucking signing up for that garbage.
What the fuck is Full Moon?
Full Moon, so Full Moon used to make a bunch of fucking movies back in the day. But Full Moon is a, one of those subscription-based ones you can get through Amazon.
Right.
So you don't get to watch the movies for free through Amazon.
No, you pay for that.
But you get a discount on the service. So like this would be $6.99 a month to watch Full Moon movies through Amazon. But you have to have an Amazon account. You don't have to have an Amazon account to get it. You just have to log in, like have like go to Amazon.com, and you can sign up for this through them. Because apparently Amazon has unlimited servers they can fucking use.
Oh, that's a lot of the internet is, seems to be yeah. run off of oh, Amazon so servers many fucking at this things. Point.
Did you read the whole description?
No,
oh,
I didn't.
Oh my God, this is terrible. It's Buck Rogers for an adult for adults as Colonel James Granilla, an alien in human disguise, visits the flying saucer of Captain Mother.
What?
That is yeah, that's what I said. And her all-girl crew in the year 2060. But because Granilla is a planetarian,
and
all the lovely space nymphs, not nymphos, nymphs, are Tarians, he seeks to learn more all about their, hold on, there's more, intimate ways. Oh, it's definitely a porno. Full of sexy gals and unspecial effects. Space Thing is a hilarious sci-fi skin flick.
Oh, so it is a porno.
Yeah, well, yeah, the cover's got titties on it.
Well, right, but like exactly. It never specifically says anywhere until the end. Like, I didn't read the end of it. It's a skin flick.
Scroll down. Can you?
Here's one on Amazon Prime, though, that you can watch called Space Zombie Bingo.
Oh, I'm watching that.
The Earth is in grave danger when a gang of flesh-eating zombies from outer space arrive on Earth. God, you pretty much sold me on that one. The future of the world rests solely on the shoulders of the Zombie Defense Corps and their incredulous leader, Major Kent Bendover.
Mm-hmm.
Will Major Bendover and his moronic troops have what it takes to battle these horrifying space invaders? And the cover is some psychedelic thing with a bunch of girls in bikinis and actually it's two girls. They're just copied.
Copy and pasted, yeah.
Copy and pasted going back with what only looked to be like those like stupid guns you get for a dollar over at Toys R Us that have like the orange caps on the end of them.
Oh, there's do you have the customers who watch this item also watched list on that?
Yeah.
I'm on the website.
Yeah.
Do you see some of these on here?
Invasion of Alien Bikini, Space Girls Beverly Hills, Stripperland?
Yeah, Stripperland. Yeah, for sure. Which I'm pretty sure is a porno version of Zombieland.
BC Butcher. America's Bikini Car Wash. Wow.
Yeah.
Pretty
fucking bad.
Star Worms 2. That means there was a Star Worms 1. What the fuck is that?
Well, I guess it's something that capitalized on... is there actual porn on Amazon
video? I didn't think there was.
Oh, wow. Don't go further. Pretty sure I need an adult to watch some of these.
So Star Worms 2, The Attack of the Pleasure Pods. Jessup, forced to hide his true identity, is imprisoned on a hostile planet, banished to mine rabid rivers for the elusive fire gems.
Oh, Jesus.
Jessup and his men must battle bands of delinquent prisoners and fight the fangs of the Star Worms in order to supply the lords of the evil empire with the sacred source of their hallucinogenic opiates. This is awful. Oh, my God. This is hilarious. I did not know about this.
Stripperland, it sounds like the greatest movie ever made.
Really?
No, it sounds terrible. A strange virus causes the majority of a female population to turn into lethal, carnivorous zombie strippers. A small band of survivors, an amiable geek, Idaho. That's literally what it says.
Idaho?
Yeah.
All right.
And it's capitalized, so that's a name.
Yeah.
A macho cowboy Frisco a spunky Virginia and her scrappy sister West embark on a dangerous cross-country trek to get to the grandma's house in Portland, Oregon. That is literally Zombieland. Even down to the fact they call each other by the states they come from.
Yeah.
If this motherfucker's looking for ding-dongs, they need to be sued.
What year was Zombieland?
Before 2012 when Stripperland came out.
Yeah.
Oh, this is the background hilarious. Image makes me laugh a lot. It looks like a trainee with a corset with duct tape over its nipples. It might be a woman. I can't tell.
Yeah, the picture is horrible.
It's blurry. But look at the cover art for this thing. It's just, it's terrible.
I just like going back to the original search. You have like legitimate movies and documentaries.
Oh, yeah.
There's fucking Interstellar on here.
Expanse season one.
Expanse, Black Hole. But you literally like sprinkled in is just space things.
Just
space zombie bingo.
Terrible shit.
Ugh. Like Deep Space Nine. Throw that where you want to throw that.
Dark Side. That thing's terrible too. Look at that cover. Someone photoshopped the shit out of that thing.
Space Dogs.
Seneca Martin Green? Really? 2016, she just made this thing.
What is it?
Seneca Martin Green's from fucking The Walking Dead. It's a movie called Shockwave Dark Side, which makes me think it's like part of a trilogy.
Ah, there it is. Shockwave Dark Side.
From the wreckage of a troop transport, five soldiers are stranded on the dark side of the moon behind enemy lines. They begin a dangerous journey through snipers and minefields back to their home territory. Then, make an amazing discovery.
Adding that to the watch list.
Fucking Christ, dude.
Oh, Lost in Space Season 1's on here.
So many terrible fucking movies on here.
Yeah.
No one ever talks about Amazon Prime Video. Jesus Christ. Space Dogs?
Yeah, I ran across that one too. I'm not sure.
Oh, Space Jam. Not on Prime though, so fuck you, Space Jam. Oh shit, a second Space Dogs movie. Wow. Space Dogs, Adventures to the Moon. Adventure to the Moon.
Oh, that's awesome. They have Lost in Space, the remake one.
Your favorite movie?
The one that I do is a secret joy of mine. But it's not Prime. Oh, Space Clown. Not Prime either.
2000 Space Odyssey, that's not Prime. Dynamo? What is this thing? Just the font alone makes me want to watch it. Oh my god. Season one? Oh, it's a show. A sci-fi fantasy cut cyberpunk web series.
What the fuck? That seems like just a string of words.
It was
together.
Literally, they had like slashes in between. I don't know how to read that. Ultra secretive intelligence agencies, average people just trying to get by, and a mysterious character who causes trouble for everyone. This movie looks terrible. Our show looks, I mean, I don't know what it is. I don't even know. From that description, I don't even know what it's about. I love how it says featuring ultra secretive intelligence agents.
Ultra secretive.
Yeah, it's fucking, what is that about? Whatever. Obviously, Amazon Prime Video has some terrible shit on it if you type in the word space. I didn't want to type in the word zombie. Oh, God, that list must be fucking massive.
It kind of makes me want to just pick random words and search for stuff on here and see what I get.
It makes me hurt. It makes my brain, like, suffer.
I will admit that it does, because there's a lot of times that you'll be searching for something and, you know, Netflix for some reason doesn't have it, and Amazon Prime, you hit it, and it's like, oh, it's there, but you have to buy it. It's not on Prime. And then, yeah, they don't seem to have, like, the best selection out there. But at least their first-party shows, or at least Man in the High Castle is really, really fantastic show.
Yeah. There's some other ones people like. I haven't watched a lot of them.
No, I haven't either, and that's because for the most part, they're more drama-based, and I don't want to...
Sneaky Pete? Is that new one with Cubone or VC and it has Bryan Cranston in it. I think it's on Amazon. Because Hulu has The Path.
Yeah, which is with Jesse Pinkman.
Yeah.
Like Goliath here with Billy Bob Thornton.
That one's supposed to be really good.
It's supposed to be really good. Yeah, no.
And there's one with Ron Perlman, The Hand of God or something like that.
Yeah, which was another one that I did want to. Yeah, Sneaky Pete is the one on
Amazon.
Okay,
yeah, I was right.
But I don't see the...
I think it's The Hand of God.
Yeah, that sounds right to me. But I don't see it on here. They also have the Grand Tour.
Oh, that's the new, yeah.
With the original guys.
They got renewed for a second season.
Mm-hmm. And it's supposed to be really good. But I don't know. Amazon, like, I enjoy it. Amazon Prime. I have it. It's free with my freaking service, which I... Oh, yeah, Hand of God right there with...
Ron Perlman, right?
Ron Perlman.
Yeah. Yeah, I've never actually officially watched anything on him. I've watched two episodes of Man of High Castle.
Yeah.
And I watched the first 15 minutes of Justin's movie.
But they have a shit ton of original series. I'm scrolling through their original series right now, and it's just a metric ton of stuff that has, like, actual good named actors in them.
Yeah. Because they started pulling a lot of that in when, like, Netflix got big with their original programming.
Jean-Claude Van Johnson?
Yeah, it's one of those tested ones. At the same time as The Tick was tested.
Yeah.
And that other one with Kevin Bacon. About the horse in the town or whatever it was.
BoJack Horseman?
No, that's not. That's a Netflix one. Is it on
that's
there?
That's Netflix. No, no.
Oh, I was like, that's a Netflix show.
No.
That's
you just said The Man, The Horse, and I was like,
it was there's like, Horseman? No, like, Kevin Bacon's in it, I think. I think it's Kevin Bacon. And something about, like, a dude rides a horse into a town. I don't know. It's supposed to be a comedy or something.
The All for Nothing thing was on here.
Oh, that's
right. The football one with the Cardinals. Transparent with what's his name from...
Arrested Development.
Jeffrey
Tamborn. He was in a really weird fucking Tide commercial during the Super Bowl, too.
Was he?
Yeah, with Terry Bradshaw. Like, Terry Bradshaw gets mustard on his shirt, so he, like, goes to wash it before
break's done. See that commercial, yeah.
And, like, he just drives, like, he steals, like, the golf cart and is driving somewhere, and he wrecks into fucking Jeffrey Tamborn's house, and, like, he washes his shirt, but he somehow is only in his undershirt with his boxers.
Yeah.
And, like, did you get mustard in your pants, too? Like, what's wrong with you? I didn't hear the audio very well on that one. But, yeah, the producer's giving us a wrap-up sign, Joe.
I will want to say, since we were talking mostly about space stuff, and I did just finish watching Mars, mm-hmm. the National Geographic show. It's amazing.
There's real people in it, right? Real actors and stuff in it, right?
No, it's all nobodies that you wouldn't... There's not... You may... Maybe I don't. Me, there's no named actor in it that I know. Or
someone was in that one.
But if you, I would say if you liked Andy Weir's,
The Martian,
you'll like this because it takes that and expands upon it over the course of.
Would you say like to make it more of an expanse?
No.
Oh.
Clever, no. Just because similar things happen in Mars as in The Martian, but it's more successful and takes place over the course of, I think, like two or three years. And then they also put in actual like physicists, scientists. Elon Musk even shows up. Not in the show, but in the documentary part of the show. They jump back and forth between 2016, where they do all the documentary interviews and whatnot with the actual real people, and then they jump forward to 2033, I believe it was, when the show is actually occurring. They send the crew up, and it's about how they survive. I'm not sure if it's actually going to be like a ongoing TV series or a Hulu. I watched it on Hulu. I don't know if you can get anywhere else.
It says it's a miniseries.
Miniseries. So it'll be just this run.
And I don't know.
And that's it. And that's the way it ends is pretty.
The list of producers, though, makes me think that we should have bigger names in it. But Ron Howard, Brian Grazer, Michael Rosenberg. Like, I would think there's going to be more people in this. But it was the composers were. Oddly enough, Nick Cave and Warren Ellis
Warren Ellis worked on this thing?
Yeah.
What the fuck?
As the composer for all music. Right.
I didn't know he did that, but apparently he does that type of stuff.
Fucking music.
But yeah, to end on that, watch it. It is fantastic. There's only like 8 episodes, I think it is, or right around there. 6 episodes. They just blend right into each other. It's absolutely fantastic to watch. And that's it.
Boom. That's it for this week's episode of Comes Naturally. We are
Joe.
Not Mike, and I am Cody. As usual, you fuckers just came naturally.
Yeah.
Motherfucker.